Welcome to the Business Coach Podcast, an advice-oriented series for Canadian entrepreneurs. I'm Ian Portsmouth, editor of Profit Magazine, and I'll be your host as we tackle the hot issues and opportunities facing Canada's small businesses. We've developed this podcast in cooperation with BMO, Bank of Montreal. Over the course of the series, I'll be drawing on experts in a number of fields, including some BMO experts, in order to provide the credible information and prescriptions you need to run your small business better. In a recent survey of Canadian retailers conducted by Profit Magazine, half of the stores visited by our mystery shoppers failed to achieve at least a C grade for their customer service. In several cases, retail staff not only lost a potential sale that day, but did things that would ensure the shopper would never return in the future. Thankfully, we also found a few retailers who delivered the kind of service that leads to higher sales and repeat business. One of our secret shoppers was Andre Brigadier, president of ANA Merchandising, a provider of various services for retailers, including merchandising, point-of-sale display design, and secret shopping. Andre joins us from his office in Toronto. Andre, welcome to the Business Coach.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Andre, I think most Canadians feel that retail service has been in decline for some while now. What's your take on how retail service today in Canada stacks up to, say, a decade ago?
Well, I think compared to a decade ago, things are much better. They're better for a number of reasons. So there's globalization, deregulation, free trade, and a population growth, which has stimulated economies of scale and therefore interest for retailers. So compared to 10 years ago, we've never had more product selection, better pricing, very innovative promotions, and probably more places to buy whatever you want to buy than ever before.
Has the quality of the actual retail clerk improved?
I think not. But it almost doesn't matter. The trend nowadays is that retail sales clerks play a much less important role than they did 10 years ago. Today's stores are self-serve with interesting and innovative merchandising programs that help the products sell themselves.
That's a very good point. It is much more of a self-service environment out there. Still, what are some of the common mistakes that retailers in Canada are making these days?
Well, it's my observation that most retailers that do make mistakes are those that make mistakes in the areas of inconsistent positioning and service delivery. So if a retailer positions themselves to be high-end, high-quality, and fails to deliver on a wide or a product selection or an interesting product selection with pricing inconsistent with their message, then consumers just typically become confused, and the retailer typically does poorly.
And what are some of the other common shortcomings of Canadian retailers in terms of, say, selection, decor, overall shopping experience?
Well, again, it comes down to comparisons. On a regional basis, high-density populations like Toronto or Montreal, Vancouver, you find that the quality of product and selection pricing is better because there's economies of scale and there's retail interest to support the target markets. When we get out into smaller population areas, which a lot of Canada is, you find that service just isn't there, mainly because there isn't the infrastructure to support it.
Now, there is a popular perception in Canada that shopping in the United States is just far superior to shopping in Canada. Is this a really fair assessment?
I think, again, it depends on population areas. In general, on an aggregate basis, the shopping experience in the United States is probably better. Again, we have market dynamics playing a huge role. There's much more competition in the U.S. Therefore, retailers have to be much sharper, have better pricing and more aggressive product selection. But when we get to Canada, and again, with the with major urban centers like Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, we find that the shopping experience is almost identical. In fact, maybe even better, because some people say that only the best stuff that that comes to Canada is the stuff that from the United States is the stuff that does well in both countries, and the and all the other products that don't make it here really weren't worth making here at all.
Now, it's interesting when you talk about the companies from the States that are coming up to Canada. They're typically large, well-known chains. And most of the listeners of the Business Coach podcast are going to be the owners of independent retail outlets. So how do Canada's independent retailers stack up against those big-name brands?
Well, typically, it's been our experience that they don't stack up very well. And the main reason is that they just don't offer any difference in the marketing mix. They either have the same product price, promotion, and place opportunities as the big retailers, and don't follow a niche policy where economies of scale isn't as much a factor. It's really, really tough for the small retailer to survive against a big box store. Just imagine a electronics retailer, a small electronics retailer that sells PCs. How is he going to differentiate himself from a Future Shop or a Best Buy or a Staples? Can't do it on price. Has to do it on service. But, you know, the big box stores provide just as good, if not better, service than the small independent retailer. So all that's left in the armament of the small retailer is a niche strategy of bringing in innovative products that simply are not available anyplace else, that serve a limited market, and in an area that just isn't serviced by big box stores. And that's about the only thing that's left for them.
Does that mean that independent retail in Canada faces a rather bleak future?
Certainly in some areas it does. I would hate, for example, to open up a computer store today. I think it's just such a tough slog because it's so difficult to be innovative when it comes to products which have become commoditized over the last couple of years. We find that with bookstores as well. I mean, we know Chapters Indigo do a fantastic job retailing in general, in spite of our findings during the mystery shop. But in general, they do a very, very nice job, and they have a great product, great selection, good pricing. It's tough, very tough for smaller booksellers to compete unless they have some very, very specialized product that the big guys just don't want to carry or can't carry. So, yes, they do face a bleak future unless they find a niche strategy that works in their area.
So if our listeners are looking for some inspiration from some successful retailers out there, could you name a few of the retailers that you have a lot of respect for?
Well, from a big box store point of view, I think Future Shop, Best Buy, just do a fantastic job. I mean, we visit those stores all the time, as we visit Staples and Walmart, and these guys are just so consistent in their message. They have the perfect product price promotion place strategy that targets exactly their target audience, and they do it consistently over and over again. I love those guys. I mean, I think your listeners will probably agree that if you're going to be buying electronics today, you would have to consider at least visiting a Future Shop or Best Buy or Staples, at least for comparison purposes. And they've gotten that message out, and they do a great, great job. And now, so the message for the smaller retailers is look to the big box stores as models of which you need to find opportunities in. So if a big box store is not offering a certain product at a right price, then you need to find that product to be able to compete, a different type of product to compete against those guys. And that's a very simple message, but a message that I think is, in effect, often difficult to implement because innovative product selection is not always available to small retailers.
Now, briefly, Andre, you are a follower of the global retail marketplace. What are some of the trends that you're seeing out there in retail merchandising that could soon hit Canada and have an impact on how we do retailing here?
I think that more and more what we've seen worldwide, and I found this through my own teachings and my own research, is that suppliers have become much greater partners in the retail experience. Before, it's been vendors sell to stores, stores sell to customers. Now it's a much more of a partnership between vendor and retailer to find a way to satisfy the needs of the target market. And that means that the vendors have come to the plate with innovative training programs for staff and sales incentive programs for retail staff. They've implemented interesting merchandising and display programs in store and have basically helped retailers do an in-store marketing program, which has made it a much more appealing, interesting way of doing things. And we find that worldwide. I think the trend started in the United States. Certainly, it's all over Europe, in Canada, of course. And even in the former Eastern Bloc countries like Russia, Ukraine, Poland, places which were just a disaster when it came to retailing 10 years ago, are now basically following that retail model of strong merchandising at the in-store level.
So it truly is becoming a global retail marketplace, and it's becoming much more competitive.
It is, and we find now that service levels around the world are becoming comparable. I don't really think that you'll find, again, in large urban centers, you will not find significant differences in the marketing mix, and hence the service level. I think you'll find things fairly consistent around the world, depending, of course, on population centers.
That's great. Andre, thank you for joining the Business Coach.
You're welcome.
Andre Brigadier is president of A&A Merchandising in Toronto. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Business Coach Podcast. I hope you've discovered a few insights that will help you grow your business and that you'll download other episodes from BMO.com, ProfitGuide.com, or iTunes. I'd also appreciate your suggestions for future topics or how we can make this podcast better, so please drop us a line at feedback@BMO.com. Until next time, I'm Ian Portsmouth, editor of Profit Magazine, wishing you continued success.